Turning tonight in the Scriptures to the New Testament and to the second epistle of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter chapter 2, and we'll begin to read together at the beginning of the chapter, verse number 1. 2 Peter chapter 2, begin to read together, please, from verse number 1. 2 Peter 2, verse 1. Let's hear the word of God. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that should live, that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not really accusations against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime, spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children, which have forsaken the right way, and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. Amen. We know God will bless the public reading of his word to every heart. It is verse 15 and 16 that I want to look at with you tonight. Which have forsaken the right way, which are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Let's just all now take a moment here. We've read the word, we've considered what it has said. We now come to pray before the preaching of it. And again, let's all who know and love the Lord pray. The Bible tells us that the devil comes even as the word's been preached to snatch it away, lest sinners would believe and be saved. And therefore we need to pray here that God will come and the devil will be bound, and that a work will be done. Let's pray to that end, all who know and love the Savior. Almighty God and Father in heaven, again by the blood of Christ we come nigh to the throne. We're not ignorant of the devil's devices, but, O God, we pray against him. We pray, O God, that you'll bind the strong man. You'll let thy word a free course and be glorified even in this meeting. Lord, come and bless us. Come and draw near, come and descend in power. And Lord, I freely confess my inadequacy to deal with what is now before me in this meeting. Lord, take from me anything that will hinder. Wash me in the blood of Christ. Fill me with the Holy Ghost and power. Grant that heavenly unction, that divine power, which only God does give. Grant the Holy Ghost in preaching and in hearing the word. O God, thy kingdom which shall last forever, extend it tonight in this meeting. Gather souls into it, and not just here, but across the land and across the nation. Visit us and have mercy. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We live in a world where many people have opinions on other people. Sometimes those opinions may be not near enough the mark. Sometimes they're not even remotely right. And sadly, the person who gives those opinions cares little about that matter whatsoever. Sometimes they can be said out of malice. Sometimes they can be said to harm someone's character. All these things sadly come into play when people start to give opinions on other people. Really, that's the way, sadly, life is. But people's opinions on others sometimes are not worth any consideration whatsoever. They're just not worth considering. But when the Lord makes a statement on the pages of Holy Scripture about someone or something, then you can be sure things are just exactly the way the Lord described them. They're just exactly the way He described them. When the Lord said in 3 John, Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence, that means exactly what it says, Diotrephes loved to have the preeminence. You don't have to know who Diotrephes was, you just take the Lord's word for it, that's what he loved. In Acts chapter 9, when the Lord says of Saul of Tarsus before of his conversion, and Saul yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, you didn't have to be there. You just read that in the Scriptures, and you immediately know what sort of man Saul was before God saved him. But the man we've read of tonight, Balaam, well, what does the Bible say about him? Because what the Bible says about him was what Balaam was like. I spoke on him some time ago from the book of Numbers. Tonight we look at him from 2 Peter. Well, he was born in Mesopotamia. His father was called Boar. The Bible says he was a false prophet. That means he was a false prophet. He was a sorcerer. That means he was into black arts of the devil, witchcraft, whatever. That's what he was. And we're already beginning to build a picture because of what God tells us about this man. We're beginning to already build this picture in our minds about Balaam. He was a man who was hired by Balak to curse God's people, but was to find out when God blessed, he couldn't curse. But God said something else about this man that is not recorded for us in the book of Numbers, and it's what I want to look with you tonight about in this evening message. 2 Peter chapter 2. We read these words at the end of verse 15. God says of Balaam, the son of Beor, he loved the wages of unrighteousness. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. And by the help of the Lord tonight, that's what I want to look at, that text. God's pronouncement. God's pronouncement on Balaam. The first thing I want to show you about this pronouncement is this. It was detailed. It was detailed. It detailed his heart. You see, men and women, and especially you who are unsaved in this meeting, the Bible in the book of Hebrews chapter 4 makes a very striking statement. And it says this, I want you to listen to it if you're unsaved. Speaking of Christ, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. I want you to understand, dear unsaved, right at this moment in this meeting, that there is one with whom you have to do. It's not Mr. Greer. It's not the church session. It's not me. It's the Lord. And what's more, your life before the Lord is open. It's naked. It's laid bare, just to use that phrase. There is nothing in your life that God does not know. Not one thing. Nothing in your past that He doesn't know. Nothing in your present that He doesn't know. Because the Bible tells us all things are naked and open. before the one with whom you have to do. Understand that, unsaved. All things are naked and open before him. Nobody in this meeting probably knows very much about you, apart from what you tell them. It's not so with God. He knows all about you. Everything. Turn with me to the book of John. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. John chapter 2. I want you to read there verse 24 and 25. See what's said of Christ here. Because here's the one you have to do with. But Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. Oh, dear unsaved friends, see this. There's the Christ of God. There's the Savior of sinners. There's the Judge of all the earth. There's the one that you'll stand one day before in judgment if you never come to Christ. And the Bible says the Lord doesn't need anybody to tell him about you, because he knows all about you. He knows about your life, and he knows what's in man, as that text tells us. There's absolutely no possibility whatsoever of hiding anything from God. This statement that God makes of Balaam, it reveals great detail. It reveals his heart. It reveals his heart. Because the Lord said of him, he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Now love is an affection. It's from the heart. When you love someone, you love them in your heart. When you love something, you love it in your heart. But what man and woman love, it tells a lot about them. And God tells us here what Balaam loved. He who searches the heart, dear people, he who before Balaam was open and naked, he who needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man, said of Balaam, Balaam, the son of Beor, loved the wages of unrighteousness. Love the wages of unrighteousness. That's one of the details of the text. The son of Boaz loved the wages of unrighteousness. He set his heart on that word. Unrighteousness can be translated iniquity. He loved what iniquity brought him. He loved what his sin brought him. He loved all about it. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. But I want you to understand, God knew that is exactly what he loved. He set his heart on them. And God knows, dear unsaved friend, what you love. And when God moved Peter to write that second epistle of Peter, God told the world for every future generation what Balaam, the son of Beor, loved. Peter was moved to tell the world, Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness. That's what his heart went after. Dear unsaved, what would the Lord tell us that you love? Because if you never get to Jesus Christ, there's coming a day when everyone's going to know what you love. Judgment Day. All things will be revealed that day. Your heart's desire, the intents of your heart, the desires of your heart, everybody's going to find out that day, sinner friend, what kept you from Jesus Christ. Everyone's going to know it. What sin it was that kept you from the Savior. What about the book of Acts? When God told Luke to write the book of Acts, moved him by the Holy Ghost, it didn't matter to the Lord that Felix was a Roman governor. God moved Luke to record the facts he was an adulterer. Felix loved Priscilla. Didn't matter to the Lord, he was a Roman governor. Luke was moved to write it. When God moved Matthew to write his gospel, Matthew wrote, and it didn't matter that Herod the Tetrarch was a Roman governor. Herod the Tetrarch loved Herodias. And when God moved those men to write those facts, he was telling every future generation, Felix, Herodias were adulterers. God revealed it. And thousands of years after Balaam lived and Balaam was damned, every preacher that preaches on him tells the world that he loved the wages of unrighteousness. You didn't have to know him to know that. God tells us that. God tells us that. And someday, sinner friend, if you die outside Jesus Christ, the world's going to know what you loved and what kept you from Jesus Christ. The world's going to know it. Because Judgment Day reveals it. Do you love the wages of unrighteousness? Sinner friend, do you love what it does for you? A few thousand years after Balaam lived, the world still knows Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness because God told us. God told us. The details also showed something else. The details shows his madness. Look with me at verse number 16. 2 Peter 2, verse 16. But was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the madness of the prophet. It reveals his madness. What was his madness? What was the madness of this man? Turn to the book of Numbers. Numbers 22. Numbers 22. Numbers 22. And verse 22. Balaam was told by the Lord not to do something. He went on ahead and did it. He's going to curse God's people. But look at Numbers 22, verse 22. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord, we saw this morning who that is in the Old Testament, that's Christ, stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass, and his two servants were with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way, and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall, and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with the staff. What was Balaam's madness? Balaam's madness was this. He was trying to pursue something that was against revealed truth. And the Bible says it's madness. It's madness. He was going in a way that was contrary to the Word of God. And dear unsaved in this meeting, do you realize what the Lord is saying to you here? Your lifestyle, which is so contrary to the Word of God and against revealed truth, is absolute madness. That's what the Lord's saying. He speaks here of the madness of this prophet. What about your madness? I'm not being offensive here. But carrying on, playing with your soul, at any moment you could die and perish, and you continue in your sin contrary to truth, it is madness. You're going to lose your soul. Because sooner or later, you're going to run out of time. His thinking was all wrong. The word madness, it means wrong-mindedness. His thinking was all wrong. That he could go and live against God and against Christ and against revealed truth and it not all end up in disaster. The Lord tells us it was madness. And dear sinner, you are on the road to disaster. Let's just get clear about this. You're on the road to hell. And to stay on it one more moment, the Holy Ghost is telling you, is madness. The Lord doesn't leave us in any doubt here. The youngest to the oldest in this meeting understands the meaning of the word madness. It's wrong thinking. Sinner, you've thought it through all wrong. That's what God is telling you. It's madness to continue like this. I tell you what's wise. What it says in Deuteronomy 32, oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. That's wise. But what a contrast. Yes, it's wise to consider your latter end. Wise to look on down the road, sinner, and see where it's going to end up. Wise to see where this is all taking you. But madness to do nothing about it. Madness. Here's the Lord's opinion on your life, dear unsaved friend. It's madness. It's full stop. Full stop. No ifs, no buts. It's madness. The wages that you're going to earn by your sin, to go and collect such wages is madness. How did Balaam ever think he was going to come out of that one well? To go against God, go against revealed truth, disobey what he was clearly told. God said it was madness. And every unsaved person in this meeting, from the youngest to the oldest, God is telling you from the pages of Holy Scripture that there was a man thousands of years ago that lived in this world and his lifestyle was madness. And it was madness because he walked in a way that was contrary to divine truth. That's why it was madness. And that is the height of madness. Sinner, do you honestly think, right now in the quietness of your heart, that this is all going to end well for you? If you go down this road, do you honestly think you're going to come out of this one well? Because you're not. That thinking is madness. But you see, the Lord revealed to us what drove Balaam. He loved what sin would bring him. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. And he wanted it just a little bit longer. How do we know that? Because in another place he said, let me die the death of the righteous, but he wasn't prepared to live the life of the righteous just yet. And the Lord says, it was madness. It was madness. Sinner, your lifestyle is declared by God to be madness. That sin of yours that's a transgression against God's law, that's such an offense to God, it's such an attack on God. Sinner, you need to see yourself tonight, and may God the Holy Ghost drive this truth into your soul. You need to see how God sees you here.
You need to see how God sees you. The wages that Balaam loved was the wages of unrighteousness. And God said it was madness. It was madness. Sinner, young person, older person, what good are the pleasures of sin that last for a moment if you burn in hell for partaking of it? See, the way you need to think this through, that's what the word madness means, wrong-mindedness. You're not even thinking straight. And the Lord says the way you're thinking is madness. Because sooner or later you're going to lose it. Sooner or later you're going to lose your soul. You're going to lose it. Balaam, it's madness. Look with me again at Numbers 22, verse 17. What was it that drove this man on in his madness? Numbers 22, verse 17. You see, Balak said something to Balaam. Balak gave Balaam a promise. Look at verse Numbers 22, verse 17. The deal was, Balaam, you curse Israel. For me, I'll do this for you. That's the deal. Look at verse 17. I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. The love of that drove Balaam. The love of it he couldn't resist. He was covetous. He desired this. It drove him. It kept him from that which is right. Now, you unsaved friend in this meeting, what is it that keeps you from Christ? What drives you? What in your soul just says a little bit longer, just a little bit more of it? Then I'll get right with God. Because you can't possibly sit in these meetings and sit in this church and not know that you need to get right with God. So there's something in your life and it's keeping you from Christ, and you're saying in your heart, just a little bit longer. Well, God Almighty says that is madness. It's madness. Because you're not even guaranteed to leave this meeting. Not to mention the fact that God knows all about it. Turn to Jude, the book of Jude. Jude verse 11, we see some more details here about Balaam. It's the woe of God. The woe of God. Jude verse 11. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward. See it? That's what drove them. Reward. This promise, this honor that he was going to supposedly get. It drove him. And he went for it. He ran greedily after it, as the Lord tells us here. And perished. And what the Lord's telling you is this, dear sinner friend, when you put it all together, you take Balaam, he numbers 22, you take him in 2 Peter, you take him here in Jude, and where he's mentioned, you bring the picture together, and what you see is this, to go against revealed truth is madness. The wages of unrighteousness is madness, because you're going to perish. And God says to you, when you put it all together, woe to you if that happens to you. Woe to you. Woe to you, sinner friend. There's a little verse in Job that just comes into my mind right now. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with a stroke, and a great ransom then cannot deliver you. You know what the Lord's saying there? You continue in this madness, and you die in your madness. That great ransom that can't deliver you is the blood of Jesus Christ. You end up in hell, the blood of Christ does nothing for you. It's too late. Not even the blood of Christ is bringing you out of it. Woe unto you. The devil ensnared Balaam. Covetousness. Balaam's greed, he loved the wages of unrighteousness. Sinner friend, you could do with just taking the words of Hagar upon your heart right now. And bow your head and say, Thou God seest me. Thou God seest me. Thou God knowest all about me. And I'm in trouble with God because you certainly are. You certainly are. Secondly, God's pronouncement on Balaam, it revealed Balaam's destruction. You see, the Bible reveals that the wages of sin is death. And there was a day in Balaam's life when Balaam received his wages. He got them. He got the what he earned. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 31. It's a striking chapter in Scripture. It's coming to the end of Moses' life. Moses gets his final commission. Numbers 31. Look at verse 1 and 2 with me. Numbers 31, 1 and 2. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterward shalt thou be gathered unto thy people. Moses, one more thing for you to do. Avenge the people of the Midianites. Avenge the children of Israel of the Midianites. Afterward shalt thou be gathered unto thy people. The story goes on. Moses goes and does what he's told, as he always did. And look at verse number 8. And they slew the kings of Midian, beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, five kings of Midian, Balaam also the son of Beor. It was Moses' final commission. Before Moses was gathered unto his people, as we heard last Sunday night, and Balaam was gathered unto him. Balaam, the son of Beor, they slew with the sword. And Balaam went to receive his wages, the eternity of the damned. His madness came to an end. He fought Israel and Israel's God right to the end. He looked for the wages of righteousness right to the end, but in a battle that he didn't expect to lose. Into it he went with the kings of Midian. And God told Moses, Moses, before you come to heaven, just one more battle for you. Go out and avenge the children of Israel from the Midianites. Wipe them out. And among the hordes of the enemy was Balaam, the son of Beor. The sword put an end to his madness and began his eternity of the damned. The wages of sin is death. Woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam. Sinner, don't die as Balaam died. What a profile God gave him. We saw the profile he gave Job this morning. Some difference here. revealed his heart. He loved the wages of unrighteousness. Revealed his madness. Revealed his destruction in battle. Revealed his hell. Go back with me to 2 Peter. Where did he go? Look with me at verse 17. 2 Peter 2:17. These are the wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. That little phrase, wells without water, they looked the part, but they were no good. A well with no water is no good. Promises plenty when you see it afar off, and you get up to it and there's no water in it, no good. Balaam was promised plenty. But Balaam's madness caught up with him, and reserved for Balaam was the mist of darkness forever. And I tell you, friend, there's more there than physical darkness of hell. There's the darkness of hell because of the darkness of the damned spirits that dwell in it. Devils, go back a few verses, we read it. Go back with me to verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. There's the mist of darkness that Balaam was ended with. The mist of darkness forever. It was reserved for him. How on earth did Balaam think he was going to come out of that one well? And sinner in this meeting, every child of God here thanks God that you're here, from the youngest to the oldest. We thank God you're here. But this is not going to end well. I'm telling you that right now. It's not going to end well. You reject Christ and die in that condition. Reserved for you is the blackness of darkness forever. Physical and spiritual. The darkness of the abode of the damned. Is it any wonder Paul said, and it was prayed in our prayer meeting tonight, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Warn them to flee from the wrath to come. The pronouncement had revealed the details of his heart. It revealed his madness. But sinner, this pronouncement reveals the need for a decision now. God has spoken clearly tonight. Your lifestyle is madness. It's not going to end well. The wages of sin is death. Ah, but listen. The wages of sin is death, eternal hell, eternal ruin. But the verse goes on to say, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Notice the difference in the terms wages and gift. You see, everyone that goes to hell earned it. Everyone that goes to heaven, Christ earned it. In hell, sinners get what they deserve. In heaven, saints get what they didn't deserve. It's the gift of God. It was purchased by redeeming blood. It was purchased, sinner, by a life you didn't and couldn't live. And a death you ought to have died, but Christ died. There's where the gift of God was purchased. That's what Balaam rejected. For the paltry gifts and promises of an ungodly king who was going to promote him to honor. Sinner friend, what will it be for you? What will it be for you? Are you heading for the unrighteousness, the wages of unrighteousness like Balaam? Are you? Is that where you're heading right now? You know it is. Sinner friend, I urge you, turn from this. It's madness. You're going to lose your soul. You've sat in Free Presbyterian Gospel meetings and you're going to lose your soul. That's heart-wrenching. You continue without Christ, this is not going to end well. Understand this. You'll lose the soul. You'll lose the soul that God gave you. Right now in this meeting, you know, I'm sure in many of your hearts unsaved, the battle's raging. Because the Lord Jesus tells us, He tells us one day He was preaching to a great multitude. And He tells us this, this most striking verse really came to my heart the other morning. Then cometh the devil, even as the word's been preached, and taketh away the word out of the hearts. Why? Lest they should believe and be saved. Lest they should believe and be saved. And sinner, understand that. Every thought coming into your heart right now that keeps you from Jesus Christ, that makes you prolong and put this off another time, is the devil, lest you should believe and be saved. Because that's what will happen if you don't put it off. Saved. What a marvelous word. Saved, and it means made and kept sound and safe. Safe in the arms of Jesus. Safe in His gentle breast. Washed in His blood. Clothed in the garments of salvation. Yes, sinner, the gift of God is eternal life. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, but you've got to come to Him. And you need to come to Him now. You need to repent, believe the gospel. You need to do what Balaam didn't do. But you need to do what the Ethiopian eunuch did do. Got saved. What the jailer did, what must I do to be saved? What the woman at the well did, knew the joy of sins forgiven. Peace with God, she found that woman. She was a sinner. But let me ask you something. Where's that dear lady today? That lady that Jesus met at the well of Samaria, where is she? She's with Christ in glory. Sins all forgiven. But sinner, that prospect is not yours until you come to Christ. But I urge you to come to Him now. You have His promise. Balak's promise meant nothing because Balak couldn't carry it out. But Christ promises this. Him that cometh unto me I'll never cast out. And the blood has been shed that guarantees that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Sinner, it's time to come to Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer, please.
And while all the Lord's people are praying, praying for the unsaved in this meeting, let's all pray here. Young person, older person, God has spoken tonight in very clear terms of your lifestyle and where it's all heading. It's time to repent and believe the gospel. Right now, where you are, lift your heart heavenward. Come to Christ. He'll save you. If you want to speak to me after this meeting in the minister's room, that would be an absolute honor to sit down with you, help you and point you to Christ. Be my honor and privilege. May God give you grace. Father in heaven, take thy word, bless it to every heart. Glorify thy Son. Bring dear souls through for Christ even tonight. Take all that's been of thee, bless it to every heart. And answer prayer now and bless us in our closing praise. We ask in the Savior's name. Amen.